Hi, welcome to the Ramble Room. We like to keep astride of hot topics, and lately one of the hot topics in Wyoming is Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion has been discussed many times over the last several sessions. In this last session, it was brought up again, and it did fail, and because it failed, it will be brought up again this summer in a special session. We're quite certain of that. We want to take a little bit of a look at Medicaid expansion. So we're going to have a special show coming up. We are absolutely delighted to have David Iverson come join us from Cowboy State Politics. David hails from beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, beneath the Bighorn Mountains. But we're also going to be joined by State Senator Bo Beitman. In addition to that, three representatives, Chip Nyman, Mark Jennings, and John Baer. They'll all be here in studio in a day or two, and we'll record that. And then we'll send that out to you. But before we have the opportunity to all get together, I wanted to share with you some of the testimony that these three representatives gave on the House floor just a few days ago in Cheyenne. I want you to listen to what they have to say, each of them. There were several other people that gave testimony that I'd love to have on, and perhaps we'll be able to do that. Clarence Stivar, Jan Larson, Bob Worf, Chuck Gray, Bill Fortner, the list goes on. Pepper Ottman really appreciated a lot of the things these people said, but we've only got so much room here in the Ramble Room. But I want you to listen to what these guys have to say. Consider that. And as many of you know, I ran last summer for House District 29 and have every intention of doing that in the next election. And I'm going to offer as a special bonus what my comments might have been had I been given the opportunity to testify as a representative for District 29 on this bill. So please enjoy, please consider the comments of Representative John Baer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the statements from the chairman from District 7. But I would like to point out that when studies are done, a lot of times our departments don't take into effect human nature. And I just want to point out, you know, as a employer, I worked very hard during the COVID pandemic to keep my employees working because I knew that at $600 a week from the federal government, they would make more money sitting around the house than they would working for me. And I didn't have very much work because of the pandemic, but my employees chose to stay at work rather than to take the additional money to sit at home because they know that living and working and feeling accomplished means something in life. There is human nature, and we need to take that into account. And you can see historically, as Medicaid is accepted by state after state, these estimates of how many people are going to be on the Medicaid expansion, and we're talking about able-bodied people here. Let's not be confused about that. These able-bodied people are going to have the choice of free health care. That's what we're going to provide. Now, we do not let anybody go through life without the opportunity to get health care. But if we're going to provide free health care, people are naturally going to accept that. And they're not going to value it because what was the price they paid for it? Nothing. So that's why these estimates are always wrong. Every time it ends up being triple what they anticipate. And that's why the costs get out of control. We need to think about that. Right now, I think it was mentioned that in 2014 is when we started looking at this. And the estimates then were around 10,000. We haven't had a huge explosion in our population, and yet now the estimate's 24,000. And I would say that it's going to be much, much higher than that. We need to count the cost. And I will tell you the biggest cost of all is the area that we debated yesterday. Because the finances of the state are going to be strained, and we're going to be impacting education. All of us here care about education. We worked very hard on that yesterday. So I want us to continue to think about how we're going to treat education by taking on this additional problem. And again, no one is going to go without needed health care. We are committed as human beings in this state to provide that to our fellow human beings.
Representative Chip Nyman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, as we've talked about this and discussed this, I have gotten, again, inundated from my part of the country up there asking us, please don't pass this. This is our state can't afford this. We don't know how far reaching this will be, what it's going to cost. But I tell you, the person and is probably going to follow up behind me here eventually, but made the best statement of anybody I've heard. And that is, don't do this unless you're already ready to fund it fully when you're dealing with the federal government. As a state, you better just know going in that you better be willing right up front to fund this fully, because the federal government has proven itself time and time again to back away from things and rely more and more on the states, and then they have to pick up the slack. And I've never seen a government program, and I don't know how many people you would offend here, but if you want to talk about programs, talk about farm subsidies. Talk about the amount of money that is put out, and people then they pretty quick, they don't know, they no longer farm the ground. We farm the government, because it's so much easier just to do that than it is to go out there and put the work into it. But what if those go away and you've built your entire system on the need to know that the government's going to be there to back it up and provide that safety net, which I've talked about before, and it's not there? Well, then the state has to pick that up in this situation. And right now, our state's in no position to be able to do that. It'd be nice to offer this, but folks, this is not something we can provide. And when we're relying on the federal government to back this, the situation that they're in, that's not very wise.
Representative Mark Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on for the amendment and against the bill. Members, I'd like to change the debate just a little here. I've listened and I agree with a lot of the speakers. I agree that we've got a problem that we need to work on in our society. How much of that problem sits in this chambers? I don't know. Certainly a part of it. But if I'd ask you a question, how many of you believe in free markets? How many of you own your own business? How many of you have understood what it took to actually go to work and do that? Probably most of you would say, I agree with free markets. And I look at this problem and I think, boy, we could easily sign up for something. We might write a check that we can't cash. And I think, do I want to do that? Do I want to write that check to my fellow members in my state and my district and then have a problem later on? And I think about the free market aspect of this, and yeah, we're one of the few states that have held out. Have we found the solution? No. No. One of the things that I think that we've missed is looking to the free market. We are, with this having gone into effect a number of years ago, we basically kicked the free market, our neighbors and our people around us, we kicked them to the curb and we said, you're going to do this. And Wyoming was one of the last places that's held out. And I think we still have opportunity to turn this back to free markets. Are they perfect? No. Do we have every solution? No. When we work with something, it may not be right the first time out. And I understand the frustration that we've worked on this for a long time. But in the end, I'm not sure the best answer is to just capitulate and grab hold of what has been offered as a carrot to us. Sometimes that piece of those breadcrumbs or that cheese leads to a very bad ending. And so I would ask you to think about the free market answers to this. And that if we as a legislative body, if we believed in free market, then maybe there is a solution that we can move along better and turn to our free markets. And I just hate to see us head down a socialist point of view that in our culture today, it's kind of a rampage going on out there. And it has some very dangerous things as we head towards that. And this is a large chunk in our society. This impacts people's lives. People like I said, they'll take jobs and then they'll have to give those up because maybe they overqualify or they went over just a little bit.
And now, if you'll afford me the courtesy, I'd like to tell you what I might have said. There's been an awful lot of talk about what this might cost, how it might affect future generations, etc., etc. The numbers are interesting. The numbers generally are wrong. We've seen that over and over again. The estimates very seldom come out to be accurate in retrospect. But I have to say, quite honestly, I'm not interested in the numbers. I'm a man of principle. The numbers to me don't matter. Even if you could prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were going to make money off of this process, I would still be opposed. And the reason that I am opposed is because government has no business whatsoever in healthcare. Government is the one that has come in and screwed everything up by disaffecting the free market. It twists everything, it throws everything out of balance, and then nothing is real anymore. I believe in free market capitalism. I believe that when there is a need, someone will show up, find that need, and fill that need, and do it far more efficiently and more carefully and more graciously than governments will ever do. As I said, government has no business whatsoever in healthcare. You can't find it in the Constitution. You can't find any justification for government to come there. We've been talking for the last several episodes at various times about the concept of liberty and responsibility. If we are to be truly a free people, we must therefore take responsibility for ourselves. That's what we need to get back to. We can't do it all at once. We've become addicted to the government teat, and we have to slowly break that addiction. I don't believe we can go cold turkey. But the answer, when we start to have a problem and we realize that people aren't being properly cared for, isn't to add to it more of what has caused the problem. The answer is to begin to withdraw from that. So step by step, we need to withdraw from a dependency upon government to take care of us. That's critical. No matter what the numbers say, the idea that we increase our dependence upon government to provide for something that we need to care for ourselves for is wrong, and therefore I would not support any expansion of Medicaid. Well, you're unfeeling, aren't you? You just don't care about people. I'll tell you what, I care more than most people would believe. I care deeply about people. I care so much that I don't want to see them become dependent upon a government agency that doesn't give a rip about who they are or what their circumstances are. We would be much better served to allow the free market, to allow churches, to allow any organization of compassionate people to come in. I happen to have, through my employer, a fairly decent health care plan. My wife, Diane, recently retired, and she no longer has that health care. We found an alternative to that, a free market alternative to that, where Christian people get together and share each other's health care costs. My insurance costs the company that I work for somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,200 to $1,500 a month. Hers costs us about $175 a month, and the coverage is pretty much similar. If we took government out of the healthcare business and simply allowed the free market and compassionate individuals to find a need and fill it, we might be amazed at the type of things that could be accomplished. I do not support Medicaid expansion because I do not support more involvement of government in our business. The conservative principle stands for smaller government, less government, fewer taxes. We talked about Walter Williams. We talked about his concept that to take forcibly from one person to benefit another is tantamount to slavery. That's what I'm talking about. Medicaid expansion is enslaving more of us to pay for those who naturally will just find the easy way out and say, okay, I'll go ahead and accept that and not provide for themselves. And by ceding that responsibility for themselves, they also cede a good portion of their liberty. I am in favor of a liberty. I am in favor of freedom. I want a small government. I want fewer taxes. I would never support any expansion of government involvement in medical anything.